It doesn't matter if you love craps, blackjack, machines, or dining on the finest Asian, American, and Salish cuisines. It doesn't matter what you do or where you're coming from. Muckleshoot. What you do is all at Muckleshoot. An easy drive from wherever you are. All roads lead to Muckleshoot. Muckleshoot.
As they arrive at the top of the stretch, and it's Bridle up to the bar, who's the target. As it Zestful's on the outside, up in a second, smiling goodbye towards the inside, and Slews, Tiz, Whiz, winding up in the back. One furlong to go. Bridle up to the bar, and Slews, Tiz, Whiz, surging late on the outside. 16th to go, and it's Slews, Tiz, Whiz, with a powerhouse performance, taking the Governor's Stakes.
That was Slews, Tiz, Whiz winning the Governor's Stakes at Emerald Downs last July, and he earned his second consecutive Washington Horse of the Year title at the recent WTBOA banquet here at Emerald Downs. Joe Withy, Vince Bruin here on Horse Racing Northwest, and we're going to have an enjoyable show today. Thanks for joining us, Joe and Vince here. And yeah, the track is open for training for 2024, Vince, and already some pretty good action out there.
I think we got right around 300 horses on the ground as of this morning. Of course, more arriving daily. This time of year, we go 7 days a week, usually 7:30 to 12:30. So come on out. Especially the Quarter Chute Cafe, a lot of folks out there last weekend, and getting a little bit of the nicer spring weather some of these days. So a lot of anticipation, yeah.
Yeah. Quarter Chute Cafe opened Wednesday through Sunday until 2 p.m., and it was real busy this morning. We're doing this podcast on Friday morning. And yeah, track's open for training. And Vince, you know, I think we're going to have a few more Washington-bred 2-year-olds racing this year. You know, I'm not saying the number of mares have jumped up, but Barkley and Conveyance mm-hmm. both have their first crop this year. And I know many of those horses sired, fillies and colts sired by those two studs, are staying in the state. So that might be a good sign. Barkley and Conveyance with 2-year-olds.
Great. Yeah. And, you know, the early buzz on both of them are really good. From, you know, various horsemen who have them in training. And so that is exciting. You never know with the 2-year-olds, you can get the, you know, the cough sometimes, or, you know, the shin issues is pretty common. But yeah, going in, it looks pretty optimistic. So it could be a lot of fun in the juvenile divisions this year.
Yeah. Barkley, of course, the 2018 Long Acres Mile winner. And Alternation, we talked to Debbie Pabst about that new sire at Blue Ribbon Farm in Buckley. And I think we brought up the fact that his first ever winner was at Emerald Downs as a sire. Alternation was the sire of My Heart Awakens for the Coal Creek Farm in August of 2017. And just a couple weeks later, Diamonds R won for George Todaro in early September of 2017. She was also by Alternation. So that sire, new to Washington, has a little history in the state, some positive history. So track's open for training, Quarter Chute open, Emerald Downs news. Vince has run the Emerald Racing Club, very popular addition, started, gosh, it's got to be close to 10 years ago now, but Vince, you'll be running the club again this year.
That's right. Yeah, you're right, Joe. 10-year anniversary. We did miss a year there with COVID. New trainer this year with Scott Tubbs, Jeff Metz, of course. We had him on, I believe, last podcast. He's down managing the stables at Santa Anita. So Scott Tubbs will take over this year. And if you're interested, just give me a call, 253-288-7723 or vinceb@emeralddowns.com. Happy to show you around, a tour of the stables, or answer any questions and get you a registration sheet. So plenty of room.
That is great. The Emerald Racing Club, just the one-time fee. And just access and interest and ownership in thoroughbred racing here at Emerald Downs in 2024. And, you know, we have the stakes schedule settled and the date of Championship Sunday, the Long Acres Mile, August 11th this summer, Vince.
Yeah, it is. Sunday, August 11th, along with the Muckleshoot Derby, the Washington Oaks, and the Emerald Distaff. So a tremendous day of racing. I know nationally, you know, it's our biggest handle day.
Sure.
Get a lot of attention around the country. And, you know, just throwing around some names, you and I, Joe, it looks like it could be pretty fun this year.
Yeah, we always think about the mile all year long, and I think you've got a couple of names that you might toss out that could be possibly involved in this 2024 mile.
Well, this morning, you know, a horse that was pretty good here last year is a four-year-old by Spitestown named Tax Code. He won three allowance races, and he was the first official worker this morning for the 2024, then later Unbridled Scholar and then Libby's Gambit, all trained by Blaine Wright. But Tax Code looked pretty good. He went from the quarter pole to the 7-8, and I think our official clocker got him in 34 flat, and he looked good. Looked pretty solid, and he could be a pretty important horse this year, I'm thinking.
Yeah, 34 flat's an impressive work for this time of year.
Yeah, and going easy, and, you know, he was transferred to Blaine Wright late last year. You know, even speaking of the Emerald Racing Club, that's Vicki Wilson's horse, Mischief Racing, and she began with us, and she's got herself a pretty good runner there in that one. Some of the other horses we've talked about, Joe, you know, Clovis Connection last year, his last four races of 2023, all he did was win three sprint stakes and also a mile and a 16th turf stake down at Santa Rosa. His final race either, Harris Farm Stakes, he went six furlongs, 109 flat, got a 93 buyer, and beat older horses, including Top Harbor. So he's a serious racehorse.
Yeah, Top Harbor, just tons and tons of wins and seconds in stakes company the last 3 years down there.
You bet. So Blaine Wright's got a couple there. And we all, you know, we had Slew's Tiz Wiz right at the top of the show, and he's probably the horse to beat, you know, until proven otherwise in the older horse category. Who are some of the others we talked about? Lloyd's Logic is, you know, former Futurity winner here. Papa's Golden Boy missed last year.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back. And then Blaine's got another one, Prince Abu Dhabi. We saw win the Muckleshoot Derby here last year. Another talented four-year-old. And Perfect Dude made his debut.
Yeah, he came off that year layoff and was stakes placed at Sunland.
Yeah, ran a good third. You know, he was in down on the inside and continued on well. The horse that won that race, Jackson Traveler, he's a graded winner. He's a very nice horse. So that was a very respectable showing. Some other horses that could be back are Coastal Kid, who's been a pretty good horse around here the last few years. Dirt Road Red, you know, led the track in wins last year with five, and he's not too far behind those other top horses around here. Joe, you mentioned that Five Star General, they could be eyeing coming back. He's not on the grounds, of course, but, you know, they've mentioned since winning the mile last year that he could be on the radar again this year, too.
That would be great. Five Star General has had a good fall and winter down Louisiana way, so good for him. Owner Ken L. Haddiff and trainer Grant Forrester, Five Star General, hero of last year's Long Acres Mile. And that's a look at some mile possibilities way out in advance. Washington Breds, well, Lonesome Boy, owned by John Parker, a Washington bred by Nationhood. You might remember that name from participating in the Gottstein last year, shipping in as a maiden from Parks. He didn't run great in the Gottstein, but since then, he's won a maiden by 12 at Parks. He won an allowance at Aqueduct in January, and earlier this week, he won a three-year-old route stake at Parks at 10-1, beat some pretty good horses. So Lonesome Boy is clearly the leading Washington bred earner so far this year with 79,000. Two wins and a third from three starts in 2024. The son of Nationhood, owned by Parker, and off to just a super start. And talking with Candy Kreiderman, who's not his trainer back east, of course, but very close with Parker, and tells us that they're looking at a race on Wood Memorial Day, April 6th at Aqueduct. Maybe the Wood. There's also the Bayshore at 7/8 that day as well. And again, he's already won over that track.
He's already won routing. And, you know, if the track should come up off, you know, he does like the
All three of his wins.
Yeah. You know, of course, when you start talking about Wood Memorials, you start talking about, you know, the Todd Pletchers and the Steve Asmussens and the Brad Coxes with their million-dollar pedigrees. So that would be an interesting assignment for him. But hey, when you're sharp and you can route and you're going good, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. He's passed some hurdles, big hurdles so far this year. Lonesome Boy, leading Washington bred earner early in the 2024 season. Speaking of Washington breds, the WTBOA banquet was on February 24th. Top two-year-old filly Special Diva, top two-year-old Coulter Gelding Freightline, three-year-old filly Miss Dynamic, three-year-old Coulter Gelding Company's Dream, top filly or mare Blazing Bella Blue, her third year with a championship. Of course, she was Horse of the Year 2 years ago and top filly or mare last year and again, in 2022 and again last year. And the top older horse, of course, was Slew's Tiz Wiz, Horse of the Meeting 2 straight years at Emerald Downs. More importantly, Washington Horse of the Year 2 straight years.
Yeah, he is probably sitting on a pretty good year this year. I would think we had him as the first horse on the track. He earned the honor. And, you know, Tom and the gang with Slew's Crew Racing, credit Jody Snyder up there on Oak Harbor, were bringing him in really good shape. So, you know, he hasn't done much wrong here the last couple years.
Yeah, he's been tremendous. Slew's Tiz Wiz, trained by Tom Wenzel, Tom's third Washington Horse of the Year runner. Two with Slew's Tiz Wiz and, of course, the Great Face back in 07. We also announced the 2024 inductees to the Washington Hall of Fame at the banquet on the 24th, and you can go over those.
Yeah, and one of them will be joining us later on in the show, and everyone knows him really well. But in the filly and mare category, it was really tough, but Flag de Lune, a grade one winner, won the inaugural running in the Long Acres Lassie Stakes. She was a $10,000 yearling bought by three local businessmen from Auburn and Kent. And she gets in, and boy, she was a very, very good runner and very talented and deserves it.
Grade one winner, I think you mentioned.
Grade one winner of the Ramona, beat none other than Royal Heroine, who ended up being the Eclipse Award winner that year. And so she was tremendous. The jockey, you know, maybe this one was overdue. And a great rider both at Vancouver and Seattle, Basil Frazier. Joe, you and I both saw him ride many times and a terrific judge of pace and just a very cerebral rider and a very interesting individual. He knew a lot more about a lot of things and was a great man. Too bad he passed last year and won't be able to be on hand for it. But Basil Frazier gets in as a jockey, very deserving. Media category, this was the first year for it, and it was a real strong category. You had Mark Kaufman, you had Vic Cazzetti, Dennis Dodge, and the winner, however, is John White. And everyone knows John well, a native of Spokane, like Basil, also was from Spokane. And it's going to be a great night on August 10th when the official induction ceremony is in, because I know this means a lot to John. Joe, you made the call to him when he got the official word he'd been voted in, and I know he's just over the moon, to use his words about it. And lifetime achievement, talking about greats, Joe, Junior Coffey.
Junior Coffey into the Washington Thoroughbred Hall of Fame. Throughout his whole career, trained at a tremendous percentage, a great horseman. He bonded with those horses mentally and physically. Well, you know, you say that, but he really got to know each horse up, down, inside out, mentally, as well as their physical ability. And of course, what an interesting life as well, growing up in Texas during segregated times and coming to the UW. Outstanding football player, just a great athlete overall, and played pro football and got introduced to, well, he knew horses from Texas, but got introduced to the track through Dr. Alex Grinstein while in college, and applied so many athletic techniques and disciplines for humans into his horses, and just beloved really by so many people up and down this coast.
That is for sure. It's a great word for him. An icon, which we don't throw around too. He was Junior Coffey was an icon. By the way, Emerald Downs, Joe, you did a great video a few years back about Junior. You can see on our YouTube channel. Also, a gentleman named Bill Duncliffe, who does In the Money podcast, that debuted this week. a very nice remembrance on Junior Coffee. So I recommend both of those if you want to learn more about Junior Coffee.
Very good. Yeah. Inductees, that ceremony will be the day before the mile. So it'll be August 10th here at Emerald Downs to induct those very worthy and outstanding members of Thoroughbred Racing, Washington style. Derby Future Wager next weekend, March 15th through the 17th. So that'll be pool number 5. And, you know, by expanding to 40, the number of betting interests, it's done what so many people talked about. Steve Crist was all over it there in the early 2000s. There were 10 horses over 100-1 in pool number 4, and there were 3 horses over 200-1 in pool number 4. Now that's, you know, you got to cash your ticket, you got to win the Derby to do it, but it's just to spread out the odds so much. Sierra Leone was the favorite individual horse in pool 4 at 6-1. Dornock at 9-1. Of course, Dornock came back to win. But pool number 5 is next week, Friday through Sunday, March 15th through the 17th. And then there's going to be a pool number 6 on the weekend of the Wood Memorial and other top races, April 4 to 6. Guests today, how about John White? Recent inductee into the Washington Thoroughbred Hall of Fame, a guest so many times on our KGR show and here on Horse Racing Northwest. It'd be great to catch up with John. And Tom Harris is back as track announcer. Tom's going to join us in just a couple of minutes as he'll be calling the races at Emerald Downs. His first year here was 2018. He worked here in 2017 and did a great job here. He's got a long an illustrious career calling races. Tom will join us. Simulcasting this weekend, of course. Saturdays are always big days. The Tampa Derby is Saturday. And Eric Floyd's going to take us to break with his look at the Tampa Bay Derby this Saturday.
Hey, Horse Racing Northwest. This is Eric Floyd, turf rider for Gaming and Destinations Magazine, out of Louisville, Kentucky, and this is your Tampa Bay Derby handicapping report. Slated as the 11th race on Saturday's card at Tampa Bay Downs, the 44th renewal of the Grade 3 mile-and-a-16th $400,000 Tampa Bay Derby showcases 10 entrants and will award 50 Kentucky Derby qualifying points to the winner. Having become a more important stop on the Kentucky Derby trail with each passing year, the Tampa Bay Derby has produced many equine superstars who have ultimately impacted the Triple Crown series, one of these being Street Sense, your 2007 Tampa Bay Derby and Kentucky Derby champion. On paper, at least, guys, it appears that morning line favorites No More Time, 5-2, and Domestic Product, 3-1, are clearly the horses to beat. Winner of the Sam F. Davis, the local prep for the Tampa Bay Derby, No More Time is actually, of all things, an Iowa bred who just cost $40,000 at auction. Making both his 3-year-old and stakes debut on New Year's Day in Gulfstream Park's Mucho Macho Man Stakes, No More Time hopped at the start before he conferred a rank and 4-wide performance, which landed him a 5th-place finish. Bettors willing to give No More Time a second chance were rewarded with a sizzling wire-to-wire effort in the Sam F. Davis Stakes, one which bestowed a parimutuel payoff of $8.60. After breaking his maiden in impressive fashion, Domestic Product finished up the track in Aqueduct Racecourse's mile-and-an-eighth Grade 2 Remsen Stakes on December 2, 2023. Dismissed at odds of 14-1 in Gulfstream Park's Holy Bull Stakes, Domestic Product grinded out a determined second-place finish and proved that his Remsen flop was due in large part to a muddy strip. Trained by Chad Brown and ridden by the Red Heart Tyler Gaffleon, expect Domestic Product to perform even better in his second start off the layoff. One that could hit the board at long odds based on his third-place finish in Gulfstream Park's 7-furlong Swale Stakes, Grand Mo the First is another who figures to improve in the second start of his current form cycle. I'm going number 5, Domestic Product, over number 7, No More Time, over number 9, Grand Mo the First, in this year's Tampa Bay Derby. Good luck if you bet, and safe trip to all the horses and riders.
It doesn't matter if you love craps, blackjack, machines, or dining on the finest Asian, American, and Salish cuisines. It doesn't matter what you do or where you're coming from. Mokoshu. What you do is all at Muckleshoot. An easy drive from wherever you are. All roads lead to Muckleshoot. Muckleshoot.
Homeward bound in the classic, Cassatt leads it. Here comes Forever Unbridled chasing from the outside, a furlong away. Forever Unbridled is on the attack from the outside. Cassatt battles back bravely, a driving finish. But Forever Unbridled has laid claim to the Houston Ladies Classic.
That was Forever Unbridled winning the Ladies Classic at Sam Houston in 2016. Called by Tom Harris. She was quite the filly or mare. Then she ended up running third in the Breeders' Cup Distaff that year to two pretty good runners. And then she won it the next year.
Yes, and Tom's called some big horses, and he's done a lot of other things with baseball, and we can talk about that a little bit. But the first thing I wanted to say is we were going to put out a release a little bit later in the spring about Tom officially coming back, but it went out on social media the other day, and Phil Ziegler, our track president, said, come here, look at this. There were like 52 comments, and every one of them were positive about Tom. And, you know, racing people, we like to disagree a lot. And the one thing that was unanimous was everyone loves Tom. So congratulations and welcome back, Tom.
Tom, are
well,
you...
thanks, Vince.
Yeah.
Are you smart? Joe, appreciate it. I guess you can't beat ratings, huh? You got to be happy about positive ratings.
That is great. And Tom has had... Tom should be smiling. And it's great to have you back at Emerald Downs for 2024. I know you and I, when you first started calling here, we kind of tried to come up with a number of tracks, and it was well over 20 that you'd called at, and a long career all over North America. And boy, calling some big horses, including Forever Unbridled at Sam Houston. Geez, just a few comments on your career, Tom.
Wow, it's been a very long, enjoyable road. I mean, You get to go places, meet people, and take part of this wonderful sport, and do it during a time where, you know, the sport was really at a highlight. And so it was just a ton of fun. And, you know, there was some great horses along the way, and I'm probably leaving a lot of them out. You know, you got to go back and look at the notepad and see who all, you know, who all have you called through your career? You know, you got to kind of stop and do some research on that. But, you know, as you mentioned, Forever Unbridled in that fantastic race in the Breeders' Cup and the race at Sam Houston, the Ladies Classic. And, you know, another great mare that I had the privilege to call was Safely Kept, the Eclipse Award winning mare back at Garden State Park in 91. And, you know, hard to believe that's been 33 years ago, but she was just a fantastic mare. She had such a presence. She came onto the track, you could just tell, you know, she was a champion, and just everything about her looked good. And she certainly didn't disappoint when she got out onto the track. She was a lot of fun to be able to announce and watch her run. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw her win the Breeders' Cup Sprint when DeJure jumped a shadow at Belmont, and I'm pretty sure that was the year Safely Kept ended up winning the Breeders' Cup Sprint, beating the boys. And yeah, she was one of the greats. You bet. Tom Harris is back. Opening day at Emerald Downs, Saturday, May 4th. That's Kentucky Derby Day. And Tom, you've had a little bit of break in race calling. Bill Downs called here the past couple of years. Is this one of your longer layoffs in calling history?
You know, I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, you and I, we talked about that a while back, that, you know, every so often, I've stepped out of the booth, and usually it's, you know, another role in the racing industry that I'm part of. And I've done this two or three times. In fact, one of the times was when you and I worked together at Emerald Racing at Yakima Meadows.
Yeah.
That was, we're going back a while, I know, but, you know, when I was operations manager for Emerald Racing, this was before Emerald Downs was built and while they were building it. And, you know, so there's been a few projects along the way, that I've stepped aside and tackled, because, you know, I have an interest outside the broadcast booth, and it's a passion for the industry as much as anything. Of course, I love broadcasting, but if you can make a positive difference in other ways, why not?
You bet. And the job opened up basically last fall, and I know Phil Ziegler, his first call was to you, and you're a veteran, but we're so happy that you accepted. And Vince's recollection there of so many positive takes on social media for your accepting the job. So,
thank you guys. I appreciate all the wonderful words and all the wonderful things that people said on social media, and I'll be interacting with the race fans on X this year. Announcer Tom on X. That's going to be my go-to place to talk horses.
Very good. Very good. And you'll be joining me on Handicapper's Corner as well on a daily basis. You'll just step right back into that, whether on the set or up in the announcer's booth. So that is great. And you're well experienced in all of our promotional days. In fact, you were part of our national telecast on ESPN on the Corgi races. So you enjoy all those promotions as well.
You know, it's a really fun atmosphere. Emerald Downs does it probably better than anybody in the business, in my opinion, with all the promotions and, getting people out to the track, getting them introduced to the sport. And that's where you have to start. We got to get new people to the races and get them interested. And we've got so many wonderful promotions. Phil does a fantastic job with yes. his creativity and his ideas to get people to the races. So it's a fun place to be.
Hey, Tom. Yeah. One question I have, actually two, where is home now for Tom Harris? And I don't know if our listeners know this or not, but Tom, when you were the voice of Emerald Downs, you logged a lot of miles. You'd go back home and then come back for the next race week. And I think you're over by Spokane, but aren't you in Western Idaho now?
I live in North Idaho. I'm mm-hmm. Up here at the lodge. And, with the bear and the buffalo roam, and, the bear, the buffalo, and I, we all get along pretty well.
Oh, you could take them on.
You're alone. They leave me alone, but I love it. The secluded, the serenity, the beautiful mountains, lakes, and trees, that's just home for me. And so, it's not that far, really. It's, I hop in the car. I can be right there with you guys, in 4.5 to 5 hours. No big deal. I've traveled further. That's for sure.
you know the places to stop heading east, right, or west when you're over there. Isn't it like in George you stop and get gas, or how does that work?
Well, not in my machine, Vince. We don't stop. We just go right on.
That's
through.
Right. Yeah. I can't do that. I admire that.
It's a nonstop flight in my machine.
Right on. Well, you can do it. That's great. Opening day coming up on Kentucky Derby Day, Saturday, May 4th for Emerald Downs. We'll have a couple changes in our schedule that we've talked about before. Saturday afternoon racing rather than Saturday evening this year.
And 1:30 post.
Yeah, that's right. 1:30 on weekends rather than 2 p.m. So, we'll all get used to that soon enough. But and Tom, you got a growing family over there in Idaho as well, don't you?
Well, we added another grandchild to the roster this year, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really been the most wonderful thing of, stepping out, being a grandfather and spending time with the grandkids and the family and everything. And I just really enjoy that. It's just, obviously, you got to have a passion for horse racing to want to be in that game for so long. But at the same time, the old saying, you got to stop, smell the roses along the way. Don't let life pass you by. And sometimes you just got to stop and do that. And I've always been able to find that balance, and that's important to me.
That is great. Yeah. Your first Long Acres Mile call was Barkley in 2018. That was a great call by the way. And Barkley has two-year-olds racing at Emerald Downs this year, so that'll be fun for everybody. Because
oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. I'm looking forward to that. He was such a fun horse to watch. And from an announcer standpoint, easy to pick out with that big white blaze on his face.
Yeah, and this is his first crop of two-year-olds, so yeah, it's all coming around that way as well.
And I know I would be remiss, Tom, if I didn't ask what kind of racetrack we're all going to be hoping for on Saturday, May 4th.
Oh, it's got to be fast.
There we go. Yeah, we'll be hearing that again. So, well, great news.
You know, that's the number one thing that people say to me. I could be in, you know, in the elevator or something, and everybody wants the personalized track condition, and that's like the number one thing. And then, as soon as I walk in the building over there, what's the track condition today? You know, everybody wants to hear that.
Well, every announcer kind of has their own little stamp they put on things, and you've kind of claim that one, and it works well for you. And we were lucky last year. We did have a lot of those fast tracks. So I'm hoping the summer of 2024 is very similar.
And
I hope so too. And you know, who knows what Mother Nature will do. I did want to take a moment and congratulate Billy Downs though on a couple of fine seasons over there, and wish him well at Golden Gate. I know he's winding that season down over there, so I hope all is well with Bill and his endeavors.
He's doing well, yeah, and they got like 3 months to go. The countdown is on. Yeah. So, but you know, you coming back is about as seamless as a transition as we could have. You know the booth, you know the players over here, and we couldn't have gone wrong with either Bill or you. So it's really great to have Tom Harris back atop the grandstand this year, Joe.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Tom is always a friendly face and always optimistic and great to work with. So, yeah, not too far off, less than 2 months now until opening day at Emerald Downs. And, Tom, you take care in the interim, and we'll be seeing you soon enough for another season at Emerald Downs.
Yeah, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go change oil in the car, get it ready. Needs new tires.
I was talking about that with a couple of people close to my age, and, you know, I used to change the oil myself. It cost, you know, 10 or 12 bucks with three or four quarts.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No, you can't.
No way.
And instead of 10 or 12 bucks, it's, you know, with synthetic oil, it's like 120 bucks now.
Mine is scheduled for this afternoon, right when we're done here, Tom.
So. All right.
Yeah, you have to be a computer technician these days to do that sort of stuff.
That's correct. Okay, Tom, have a great day. And again, we'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Take care. I appreciate the visit.
All right. Us as well. Thank you. Tom Harris back as track announcer at Emerald Downs for 2024. And, it'll be great to have Tom back. Quick Picks up there on the fifth floor is open Saturday and Sunday until 6 p.m., a little bit earlier closure on weekdays. Of course, we are open for full card simulcasting 7 days a week. Quarter Shoot Cafe is open Wednesday through Sunday this time of year until 2 p.m. And we'll be doing Where Are They Now stories again this year. Popular feature, retired racehorses off the track thoroughbreds, what they're doing now and maybe a second career. So if you have any tips on those, pass them along to myself at Emerald Downs, Joe W. at emeralddowns.com. And we do have to go over a couple of passings, which isn't our favorite segment, but we certainly want to recognize industry members that have left us. Margot Lloyd passed away this winter, and of course she was the first trainer of Stryker PhD and spent a long career as a horsewoman in this state.
Yeah, very nice, very intelligent, and very good horsewoman. And yeah, she picked out Stryker PhD and had a couple other stakes winners. You, Me, and Emma B. Won a championship here, and always enjoyed visiting with Margot. Very sorry to hear her passing.
Yeah, and after she did retire as a trainer, she worked for our customer service department for many years as well. Margot, in our fan education, did an outstanding job there. Margot Lloyd passed away at age 79. Jim Fields passed away as well. He tied the state record at Yakima Meadows back in the late 80s with 5 wins on one card. It's been done in Spokane. It's been done at Long Acres. I think it was just Bill Cummings and Jim Penny at Long Acres, I want to say. And then several times here at Emerald Downs, but Jim Fields was the only one to win 5 on one card at Yakima Meadows. He was a real estate guy most of his life. That was his main goal and or main vocation, but training horses, always around horses, and retired to Arizona several years ago. And Ron Judy passed away as well, the owner most prominently of He's a Bull, who you were working for Hollywood and Santa Anita back there in the late 90s. And He's a Bull nearly won that Breeders' Cup sprint.
Sure did, with Gary Stevens up. And got run down by Elmhurst in the final strides. And Gary rode a great race, and Mike Chambers really had that horse on edge. I think he was, 16-1 or something like that. And really nice horse. He's a Bull.
And that was 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier that summer, he came up here to run in the Long Acres Mile. He's a Bull. And he was a huge favorite. Gary Stevens came up to ride, but Kid Katabatic could not be caught on the front end and upset Chris Lowe set the board for Shauna Van Oostum, Kid Katabatic over He's a Bull. But Ron Judy, in business, he was extremely prominent. He was co-founder of Nintendo North America. And that business, of course, really took off and was hugely popular. So Ron involved in thoroughbred horses most of his adult life, and most prominently, He's a Bull. Those passings to relate in our industry. We'll take a time out and we'll come back with a new Hall of Fame inductee for Washington, John White, here on Horse Racing Northwest.
It doesn't matter if you love craps, blackjack, machines, or dining on the finest Asian, American, and Salish cuisines. It doesn't matter what you do or where you're coming from. What you do is all at Muckleshoot. An easy drive from wherever you are. All roads lead to Muckleshoot. Muckleshoot.
The Oregon bred O.B. Harbor is the one to catch. Cyrus Alexander continues a sustained run. Sabato Alegre, the 95-1 shot, is third. And trying to get going on the outside is Point Piper. Here comes Point Piper exploding down the outside. And Point Piper and Mario Gutierrez running away. Point Piper invading from the Golden State, and they strike gold in the mile.
Point Piper down in history as a state record holder for time. And winning, more importantly, the 2016 Long Acres Mile here at Emerald Downs. And what a top performance that was. It was another Long Acres Mile Sunday. And here to join us, and he had a little connection to that horse via some public media, is a recent inductee into the Washington Thoroughbred Hall of Fame, our guest and pleasure to have John White on Horse Racing Northwest. John, welcome.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good to be with you, Joe. Good to be with you, Vince. And I have so many Long Acres Mile memories, and that is one of them.
Yeah.
I went on the Win Play show with you, Joe, that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that it isn't very often in this game where you get a horse that you really love, and he's not going to be the favorite. You feel he's the best horse. You feel he's the best horse in the race, but he will not be the favorite, not even be the second favorite, and that was the case with Point Piper. And I liked him because he'd been facing horses like California Chrome and Dortmund and Opportunity, some of the top horses in the country. In fact, at the time of the Long Acres Mile, he had faced 3 of the horses that had been ranked number 10 on that week's NTRA Top Thoroughbred Poll of the week. California Chrome was number 1, Melatonin number 8, and Dortmund number 10. How often do you see a horse running in the Long Acres Mile that had faced 3 of the horses ranked in that week's NPRA top 10 national poll. So, yeah. But like I say, the icing on the cake was the fact that he was going to be the favorite, or not the favorite. And he also was even getting a break in the weight. OB Harbor, who was the 6-5 favorite, and Alert Bay carried 123 pounds. Point Piper carried 118. So he's getting 5 pounds from two of those horses. And I thought Point Piper was a better horse. So what? I was thrilled when Point Piper won the race by almost 5 lengths and ran the mile in 132 and forfeited second to break the state record. And that's a very meaningful state record to me because my all-time favorite horse, Turbulator, had set the track record at Yakima Meadows in 1970, and that record stood for 23 years until Slew of Damascus broke it and set the state record. And then Skyjack tied Slew of Damascus's state record for 1 mile, and that was the final Fox Northwest broadcast that I did with you, Joe, and Bob Rondo and the team. And in fact, I've got two of the shoes that Skyjack wore in that Long Acres Mile win with Russell Bays in the saddle. And so that's a prized possession. Trainer Doug O'Neill was kind enough to give me two of those shoes that he wore that day. So the fact that Point Piper won it, but the real reason it means a lot to me, and by the way, I bet $400 to win on Point Piper, so that was a nice $2,000 profit.
Yes,
as he went off at 5-1. But what was really so memorable for me is sitting in my dad's den as we watched that race, and he knew that I had given him out on the radio that morning on KJR, and he knew how much I liked him and how much he knew I'd made a good bet on him. And so that was a real thrill watching that Long Acres Mile. And of course, it's my father who was responsible really for me getting involved in horse racing. And it was my father who took me to my very first Long Acres Mile in 1967 as I watched King's Favor, ridden by John Sellers, one of the top jockeys in the nation, the guy who'd won the Kentucky Derby on carryback, and win that Long Acres Mile. And that's one of my all-time favorite memories, of course, that very first Long Acres Mile. So the memories come flooding back, and it was great to go down memory lane with Point Piper, who paid $12.20 for a $2 win ticket.
Well, yeah, Point Piper is one of the greats to run in the mile, but John, you being a Hall of Famer, I know, how many people have congratulated you in the last week?
Well, it's a high number, mm-hmm. That is for sure. And that's part of the fun of being voted into the Hall of Fame, which I consider truthfully to be the biggest honor of my racing career. And it's a racing career that began in 1974, Playfair Race Course. I was fortunate enough to get hired by the Daily Racing Form. And in fact, I remember my very first morning when I reported to the racing office and for the morning work that you do for the racing form. And Wilbur Brook, who worked at Playfair and at Long Acres, he was the teletype operator there at Playfair. And that shows you how long ago I started in racing. We weren't using computers. We were using teletype machines and typewriters. But he had the list of workouts for that morning at Playfair. And I was just on my very first day of working in racing. This was my debut. So I didn't want to be a wise guy or anything, but I wanted to be helpful. When I pointed out to a horse on the list of workouts that Wilbur was sending into the Seattle office, and I said very mildly, I said, you know, you might not send that one in. And I pointed to a horse's name, and he really got upset at me. He says, you're on your first day here, and you're going to tell me to not send in one of the, these are the official workouts. And here you're on your first day, and you're going to. So he went back to type, and I said, sorry. I mean, I was just trying to help. And so I stepped back, and then he continued typing, and then he he turned around and he said, well, just out of curiosity, why are you telling me not to send in that horse? And I said, well, you can never be 100% sure of anything, but this is as close to 100% as you can be. I've got to say I'm 99% sure that Little Current, winner of the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, did not ship into Playfair and work a half mile this morning.
Yeah, I that's a 90.
And he said, that's the name you're typing in there. It's Little Current. I don't think he's here, Wilbur. He says, you know, maybe I won't send that in. I said, well, that was kind of my thinking. And the next morning when I came in, he thanked me and he said, thank you. And he says, what had happened is that the trainer of a horse, had, when the clocker had asked him, who was that just worked a half mile, the trainer was trying to see if he could get Little Current into the racing form that he could slip it by the clocker. And they almost did it. If I hadn't noticed it was going to end up in the racing form.
If it wasn't John White's first day on the job, then there would have been some talk about that in the Playfair stable area and the DRF offices for a few days. And John has so many great stories. We're happy for you and your induction. I mean, what a tough first media honor roll it was. And it is a vote. Vince tallies the votes. I got to make the call. Vince said, go ahead and call John, tell him that he won. And it was a great call to make because Mark Kaufman, Dennis Dodge, Vic Cassetti, you were up against. And you beat him on the vote. You know, those guys all have storied histories in media in this state for sure. And you knew them all. And it was top company. But John, you are top company as well. And we're happy for you. And again, your job description, your resume, your accomplishments, your notoriety to this day as one of the top Kentucky Derby handicappers and historians. And by the way, go to expressbet.com, John White's weekly column, as Vince already said, that you can really keep up on the current three-year-old picture. There's just, you know, so many angles, Vince, when you talk about John White.
John has always been thorough, and just that opening anecdote, you know, you should never have to apologize for trying to get something right, and that kind of set the tone for John's career. And, you know, from an aside here, I'm really in esteemed company here. The JWs of Washington, Hall of Famer Joe Withey is here, and Hall of Famer now John White is on the other line. And this morning, Joe is out in the back stretch. It's National Women's Day. He's organizing a photo shoot. And who goes by Jennifer Whitaker on a horse? And I thought, boy, there's another JW in Washington. Yeah. And she's been a Hall of Fame finalist before. Probably get in someday. And this one's not a JW, but a W. Wasserman, a former mile winner, is here at the track. And we just have a lot of W's and JW's, but I'm overclassed here on this show today with Hall of Famers. So it's really cool. And John, I just know I'm really looking forward to that weekend, that it's going to be the weekend of the mile. I know that race means, you've already pointed out, so much to you. That's going to be an exciting induction ceremony.
No, it certainly will. You know, and another aspect of this, you pointed out who else was on the ballot in this category. And I mean, as I remember before I even started working in racing, and I would go buy a racing form and down at PM Jacory's in downtown Spokane, for instance, in February, and handicap the Portland races because Yakima Meadows hadn't opened up yet. And then I would be listening to Vic Cassetti on a Portland radio station give out the results. Mm. And, I mean, that station didn't come in very clearly in Spokane. It was really tough.
Me and Joe can relate to that.
Well, yeah, we can.
I mean, I can really remember. It's just that memory comes flooding back. I mean, when I was a kid, I would listen to out-of-town stations. I would listen to the Laker games. I would listen to the Dodger games. I would listen to the San Francisco Warrior games. I'd also be getting those Portland Meadows results as best as I could hear them from Vic Cassetti and Mark Kaufman a giant in this game for sure. I mean, nationally, and I can remember in my early days with the racing form, calling charts on the roof there at Long Acres, and when Mark would be doing the radio broadcast for the stakes race, and he and I would be quizzing each other on Long Acres Mile trivia, and that's another fond memory. And Dennis Dodge, who when I was a chart caller and columnist for the racing form there out of the Seattle office, Dennis was in the Seattle office, and he was handicapping the races as sweep. And I would later end up doing that, handicapping the Emerald Downs races in its early years of sweep when I was working out of the Phoenix office for the racing form, including the first Long Acres Mile, Lose It In Good, and the racing form had sent me to Emerald Downs, and I was there when Bob Back sent out Is It In Good to win the first edition of the Long Acres Mile at Emerald Downs. And that was a big thrill.
Yeah.
And but Dennis Dodge did. He basically replaced me as a writer and columnist on that Northwest beat and did such a superlative job. I mean, he knew the game inside and out and was highly respected. So, I mean, gee whiz, what a field this was. As Vince Roone had said, he told me it was going to take at least a 108 buyer to get into this thing. And I think it took like about a 120 buyer to get into this thing. So, but, you know, guys, part of this, again, is the memories that come flooding back. And I can tell you the turning point in my life where I knew I belonged at the racetrack. I knew I belonged in horse racing. And in 1968, I had been waiting for opening weekend at Playfair. And that was the first year that Playfair had opened up earlier than the Labor Day weekend.
Hmm.
And I had waited weeks and weeks and weeks for that opening weekend because that's when I had really just become such a huge racing fan. And right before opening day, I get the chicken pox from my brother. And so I couldn't go for opening weekend at Playfair because I was in bed with the chicken pox. So I was really wanting to go the next week. And my father, who was kind enough to be bringing me racing forms while I was trying to keep from itching my chicken pox that opening weekend, I was begging my dad to go the next weekend on Saturday. And he says, boy, I still had chicken pox marks on my face. Now, you know, when you're in grade school, junior high, high school, you know, if you get one pimple, you feel very self-conscious.
Yeah.
So I had these chicken pox marks on my face. My dad says, I'm not sure they'll even let you in. And I'm thinking, oh. And he says, look, here's the deal. I'll take you. My dad was working in the money room. And he says, I'll take you. But if they don't let you in, you'll have to spend the day in the car. And racing had already meant that much to me that I said, okay, I'm willing to do that. Take the chance. So we go to Playfair. We go to the entrance gate. And we go to walk in. And they didn't even bat an eye. I walked right in and I thought, oh goodness, that's great. I don't have to spend the day in the car. So I go up in the grandstand and I'm standing there kind of between the box seats and the seating in the grandstand. And it was early enough. It's like an hour and a half before the first race. And I'm thinking, you know, I just want to kind of stay away from everybody because I don't look very, very good with these chicken pox marks. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me, and I'm thinking, oh, man, here we go. He must see me, and he's going to tell me, you shouldn't be in here. I'm going to get kicked out. He comes up to me, a complete stranger, and he says, hi. And I said, hi. And he goes, who do you like in the first race? And I thought, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
That guy didn't care what I had on my face. All he wants to know is who I like in the first race.
Well, yeah, that's horse racing. And just, John, you know, again, the stories, so many of you that are listening have heard the stories from John, and he's just was gracious enough to give us 2 weeks, every 2 weeks on the Win Play show for years and years and years. And anytime you call for Horse Racing Northwest, he makes himself available. He just loves to talk racing. He loves to do it. and his stories, and he just has the whole thing, Vince, the history and the handicapping, everything in between.
That's right. You can hear the enthusiasm. It's always there. And I think a lot of the young people today are missing something here, John and Joe. We've felt the electricity at a racetrack when there's a big race going, or they're getting close to the gate, and just the excitement of participating and reading the form. It's kind of a shame that, we're still here, of course, but I feel bad that people aren't going to be able to experience this like they did in the past, John.
I agree, Vince, 100%. It's one of the reasons, for instance, I'm glad there's still an Emerald Downs in the Seattle area, thank goodness, because look at, we've lost Portland, we've lost Yakima, we've lost Playfair in Spokane, we've lost LaBois Park, where I worked as a steward there in Idaho. We lost Coeur d'Alene, where I spent many a day in my youth going to the races at the Coeur d'Alene Turf Club. In fact, one of the persons that congratulated me is Brian Beach, the longtime jockey agent. Mm-hmm. And he's a former broadcaster. He was a sports broadcaster on KREM in my hometown, Spokane. And he's had an outstanding career as a jockey agent. And he used to go to the races at Playfair and Coeur d'Alene and Yakima and everything. And so we were commiserating about some of the same people that we knew. For instance, there was this golf course superintendent for the Spokane Country Club. His name was Norris, and he was just a huge racing fan and a great guy. And I hadn't thought about him in years. And for Brian to bring up his name, that was kind of nice, I thought. And but the fact that we don't have these tracks for people, in other words, what if I had grown up in Spokane and there wasn't a plate there, which is the case today? I mean, or a Yakima. I mean, again, at least there's an Emerald, but to have that track in my hometown that I could go to. When I was in high school, we got out of high school at 2:30, and first post to Playfair on Wednesdays and Fridays in those days was 3:00. And I would walk like 5 blocks to downtown Spokane and catch the East Sprague bus out to Playfair, and I'd be walking in as they'd be running the first race. And I got to tell you, the first time I did that, which was, here it's a school night on a Wednesday, and I go to see my father, who was in the money room, because he would get a free program from me from the mutual department. So that was a big deal as a kid. You'd save, 50 cents. Well, forms were 50 cents in those days. Programs were a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd save a quarter. And I go up to the window where my dad was back in the money room, and he sees that I'm there, and he comes out and he goes, "What are you doing here? It's a Wednesday." And I said, "Well, I can study between races." And he said, "Okay, here's the deal. As long as you keep your grades up, you can do this. But the minute you get, your grades drop, you're not going to be coming out here." And that was smart on his part, because it gave me an incentive to keep my grades
up. You bet. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, John just goes back. I'm jealous, Vince. He's younger than I am, and he goes back to 67 in Washington Racing, and my first really time was later in the 71 season, but just love hearing the stories from John, and boy, they're never-ending, and he's on top of what's going on right now. In fact, your column talks about the Tampa Derby. I think they've only sent one, or they've only had one Kentucky Derby winner. Street Sense won the Tampa Bay Derby, and then
in
of course
07,
he came on to win the Kentucky Derby. How does that race look for you this weekend on Saturday, John?
Well, that Tampa Bay Derby this year is not one of its strongest. It looks like there are two main contenders in it. It's kind of a wide open derby right now, mainly because of the fact that Baffert can't run his horses in it, because Churchill Downs extended his suspension through this year. Nisos would be a heavy Kentucky Derby favorite at this point if he were eligible to run in it, but he's not. The Tampa Bay Derby looks to me like domestic product or no more time, and I gave the nod to domestic product. So I think he's coming out of the Holy Bull. He ran decently in that race, And I think he is the one to beat, but No More Time's coming off a win in the Sam F. Davis Stakes at Tampa Bay. And that's very meaningful because you hear the phrase horses for courses. And believe me, I learned that right away in my racing analyzing career, because Playfair being a 5/8 oval, that was very, there were horses that really were what you would call bull ring horses. So I learned right away how horses might have an affinity for a different track and even the different surfaces. You know, Tampa Bay is kind of a little bit of a quirky track. So, I mean, the fact that No More Time's already won on that track is a big plus. But I think Domestic Product has a bit of a class edge in the race. But I think the winner will probably be one of those two.
Very good. Yeah, that is tomorrow. Great card at Tampa. The Derby is race 11. And John's column's available at expressbet.com, John White's column. And, of course, this week he has a lot of copy on his induction into the Hall of Fame and moments leading up to that and significant Washington moments. And, well, you know, in the Emerald Downs era, John, we just noticed here watching, and Vince joined us a little bit after we opened here, but we just noticed how many references you would have during the week on Santa Anita TV and HRTV, you know, to Washington, relating things to Washington, your home state. And boy, we are proud of you, man, all the time and to this moment. So again, congratulations for your Hall of Fame induction.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I mean, like I say, it's a tremendous honor. And to a large extent, why it's so special to me is because of the horses and the people that are in it. And I'm so familiar with,
yes,
you know, basically all of them. And I mean, we're talking giants. I mean, one of my regrets in racing is I never got a chance to meet Joe Gottstein.
Mm-hmm.
And I did in my second column I ever wrote for the Racing Form in 1975. I did interview Luella Gottstein in the cottage behind the tote board. And that was a huge thrill for me for this reason. When my dad and I spent so many days at Long Acres, he told me so many times that the greatest place to live on earth was, he thought, in the cottage behind the tow board at Long Acres. He goes, how can you find a better place to live than at Long Acres, actually behind the tow board? So the fact that I actually was able to go into that cottage and interview the widow of the man that built Long Acres, Joe Gottstein. Of course, we still have the Gottstein fraternity. And, you know, that was just, and I saw all the winner circle pictures in that cottage because Joe Gottstein, Altea Stable, which was Seattle spelled backwards, that was who raced King's Favor, who I won, saw win that first Long Acres Mile that I was ever at in 1967. So, you know, I mean, you talk about Ron Crockett, you know, all the times I came up to Emerald Downs, and even before Emerald Downs was built, I can remember going to a place called the Off Track. One time when I was visiting my relatives in Washington State, and that was a place that you could go watch the simulcasting prior to the opening of Emerald Downs, you know, after Long Acres had closed. And I remember Ron Crockett coming up to me and seeing that I was there, and he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I came here to bet the races. And so we chatted, and, you know, and when I would go up, in the years after that to Emerald, you know, I mean, Ron was so huge to keep racing going in the state of Washington. As I say, I mean, that's so big when we've lost so many of these tracks. And I think of the track, even losing Hollywood Park, which was where I met my wife on May 17th, 1981. John Henry won the feature race that day at Hollywood Park. And it was, so that was huge because it was the first time I ever got to see John Henry race, as I had just been promoted by the Daily Racing Form to be a writer and on the Southern California circuit. And, but to meet my wife in the press box kitchen that day was, you know, very huge in my life, to say the least.
And yep.
We got married in 1983 across the street from Santa Anita, basically, at the Santa Anita Church. And we've been married all these years since. And, of course, she's involved in the sport, as she's actually an Eclipse Award honorable mention writer herself. She writes for the Blood Horse and others. She writes for even covers quarter horse racing for Speed Horse magazine. And, you know, it was funny when I was working at Louisiana Downs in 1980, and Randy Moss, now of NBC Racing, you know, the national broadcaster for racing, Randy Moss, was working on publicity at Louisiana Downs at that time. And I was telling him how I wanted to end up in Southern California, and that's where I met Laz Barrera, and he put in a good word for me to come to California. I met Bill Shoemaker. I met Joe Canty, who trained Temperance Hill, who won that first Super Derby in 1980. But when I got promoted early in 1981 to come to Southern California, I called Randy Moss, and he says, when you get out to Southern California, there's a girl I've met at the Kentucky Derby, and you need to look her up, because I think you two would really hit it off. Well, that was my future wife, Tracy Gantz. And so Randy Moss not only is an outstanding handicapper when it comes to horses, he's an outstanding handicapper when it comes to humans, because he couldn't have been more right.
Now, that's one story I hadn't heard.
That's great.
That's a good one.
And John, I got one final question for you. Junior Coffee, there must have been a day when you did pretty well on a Junior Coffee horse over your career, I would think.
No doubt about it. Well, he was such a trainer to respect, because he was one of those, you know, I guess you could use the word cagey or very shrewd. I mean, that guy, he knew what he was doing. He knew where to run horses, and he knew where to run horses where they wouldn't be 4-5, and they might be 8-1, 10-1, 12-1. But I never overlooked a Junior Coffee horse, because I knew that they would be live. I mean, so often, and especially at a nice price. But on top of that, he was such a class guy. I was so glad to get to know him. In addition to my respect to his abilities as a trainer, I mean, he was a first-class person. I mean, just so nice. And that's the same as these guys that were on the ballot with me. When you talk about Dennis Dodge, and you talk about Mark Hoffman, and you talk about Victor the Predictor, these are, and all, what do we all have in common? Myself, Joe Withy, Vince Broom, Junior Coffee, everybody we're talking about. We love this game, and it is such a great game. And this goes back to my roots with my dad again, because he thought horse racing, and believe me, my dad played minor league baseball. He was a huge NFL fan. He was a golf course superintendent. He played golf. He loved all sports, but it wasn't even a contest in terms of what he thought was the greatest sport, and that was horse racing. And he loved it. And he loved handicapping the card the night before with the racing form. And I can even remember being in him in the car one time. We're driving somewhere, and I said, Dad, what? And this was really before I was even, you know, buying my first racing form in 1966 that I still have. And I said, what's claiming? What is this claiming? How does that work, Dad? He goes, oh, this is the best poker game in the world, he said. And he explained how horses could go up and down in class, but if you took a horse and you lowered it in class to where it would be almost a cinch to win, you'd lose the horse because they'd claim it off of you. And there might be numerous claims into the horse. But so it I can remember him explaining the intricacies of the claiming game, which to me has always been one of the kind of fascinating aspects of this sport.
Well, John, there's so many ways to branch off, especially with John White, and we'll do it again soon. But once again, John, one of four new inductees to the Washington Thoroughbred Hall of Fame, that ceremony on Saturday, August 10th here at Emerald Downs, and that'll be another great Hall of Fame day, and looking so much forward to that, and a lot to talk about between now and then. John is super busy doing the morning line for Santa Anita and his Kentucky Derby history and handicapping as well, as that's less than 2 months away. But, John, thanks for the time. Yeah, always thanks for the time. And, again, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John. See you soon.
John White joining us on Horse Racing Northwest. So many great hours with him over the years. And you can get the feeling that he's happy and we're so happy for him. And that is, you know what, that the one story told about his dad, that is the greatest place to live, the cottage behind the tote board. That's something John White would have said first, but his dad got it out before that. I mean, the apple doesn't far fall from the tree there.
That's exactly it. And you know, John's, the knowledge is great, but the enthusiasm for all facets of thoroughbred racing is inspirational. That's the word I think of. He's a legend, and now he's like Joe Withee in the Washington Racing Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you. Yeah, just honored to be in with somebody like him who's been all over the country, and it's all there for John White. Okay, we have just a couple segments to go here on Horse Racing Northwest. Sports shorts. What do you have, Vince? I can go first if you're...
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I was fortunate enough to broadcast high school basketball at the Tacoma Dome again this year. And, you know, they have those great Wednesday through Saturday all-day cards. The court is split. Boys on one side, girls on the other, both 3A and 4A classifications playing the state tournament at the Tacoma Dome Wednesday through Saturday. And the champions are all well noted, but I just wanted to say, it's a fine afternoon. You can just pay your nominal entry fee and get a lot of basketball. You can sit where you can see both games at once. Just some of the players returning next year: legend Smiley for Garfield, part of their state championship team last year. He'll be a senior next year. Yabby Acklog, a sophomore this year for Eastside Catholic. He was huge in the championship game. Eastside Catholic beat Rainier Beach for the title on Saturday, the 3A title. Yabby Acklog will be a junior next year, and he hit his first 7 shots in the championship game to give Eastside Catholic a lead that they never lost. Caden Powers for Rainier Beach will be a senior next year. He was outstanding all through the tournament. He'll be a senior for Rainier Beach. Alaya Cornwall, a highly impressive freshman this year for Gonzaga. They won 3 straight games and then lost the title game to Meade on Saturday. But she is just a freshman this year. Really fine ball player. Kiara Thompson for Camas. She'll be a senior next year. They won the title in the 3A division. Kiara Thompson, a great point guard, coach's daughter. Leighton Martin, he only got 1 game in, but boy, he was really impressive on Wednesday for Arlington. He'll be a senior guard next year. That's a kid that can really play some ball. And maybe Jada Lewis for Garfield. They won 4 titles in a row. She'll be a senior next year. She's one of the faster dribblers in the girls game I've ever seen. Jada Lewis back for her senior year for Garfield next year. So just a few of the outstanding high school ball players that'll be competing in 24-25. Vince.
Very good. Yeah. Well, a couple of our former riders made some pretty good news the last couple weeks here. 2 weeks ago, 3-time Emerald Down Riding Champion Rocco Bone rode 2 50-to-1 winners at Oaklawn Park in the same week.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Oh,
you can do one, but get 2. And then Patrick Henry Jr., who rode here for a few years, the final riding champion at Portland Meadows in 2019, he brought in a 70-to-1 winner called Aztec Bay at Parks, $146 winner. So there's a couple of local riding champs that are outperforming their odds elsewhere. Right. And we know Rocco is always riding hard down at Oaklawn, and he's getting some results. And I was looking at some old charts. And the 1982 Seafair Queen Stakes, that was always the opening day feature at Long Acres, 3-year-old fillies, Washington breds. And I'm looking at this chart and I'm thinking, boy, there was a lot of wins in this field. Miss Zulu Gold, Hiu Lulu, Barroom Baby, No More Lemons, Fame of Fire, Bella Rainier, Our Legacy, Ooh. Feature Fantasy, Canadian Shadow, Royal Turn, Miss Swiss, and Fast Ant. That field ended up combining for 115 career
My
wins.
Gosh.
I knew it was a lot. And leading the way were Bella Rainier and Our Legacy with 17 each. Feature Fantasy won 15. Barroom Baby, a 14-time winner.
Wow.
Hiu Lulu won 12 career races. Listen to the odds she won at in Southern California. 25-1, 8-1, 23-1, 13-1, 6-1, 5-1, 5-1, and 9-1. So she was a money machine. And the aggregate earnings for that field led by Bella Rainier was $1,408,809 and included $600,000 earners, which was no small feat back then. Miss Zulu Gold, Hiu Lulu, Barroom Baby, No More Lemons, Bella Rainier, and Our Legacy all topped that. Bella Rainier with over $400,000. So, in retrospect, that was one whale of a race.
That's a good one. I wish you would have given me all that info. I could have made a trivia question out of that, man. But Miss Zulu Gold, she beat Flag de Lune in an early season allowance at Longacres in 84.
Yes, no, that was two races later here, or
Vampa
excuse
Savannah.
Me, in 1984. Yeah, it that the 3rd of June, 1984, Our Legacy beat, who was it? Miss Zulu Gold by a neck, then Vampa Savannah was right behind her.
Oh,
by
okay.
A, yeah.
I knew Miss Zulu Gold ran huge in that race.
Yeah. So okay. Our Legacy
Flag
got
Balloon,
it.
I think, was fourth in there then.
That's
she
correct.
Was in there.
Yeah, that's right. She was fourth. And Our Legacy was on the rail, and she was very tough to get by when she was on her day. But yeah, those were some really good. And not just that year, but those fillies and mares back then were really, really tough.
Well, Bella Rainier, you know, Hall of Famer early in the Hall of Fame induction years here at Emerald Downs. So yeah, hey, that's a good one. Going back for those of us that followed Washington racing a few years. Selections. Did you have a selection?
I did, and I haven't got a chance to look at the weekend yet.
I picked Crazy Mason on our last show and the Sam Davis, and he did not run well. He's in the Tampa Derby tomorrow. I see he's 12-1 morning line, and after his race in the Sam Davis, I think he's going to go off a little higher than that. He just didn't do anything.
Any excuse?
Race. Not really. He got shuffled back. I expected him to be closer, but, you know, to be in the race, he's got a shot. I'm going to go to the race before the Tampa Bay Derby. I'm going to go to the Florida Oaks, which is on the turf for three-year-old fillies, a mile and a 16th, big field, Florida Oaks, race number 10 tomorrow, about 1:45 Emerald Downs time. Certainly some accomplished horses. A horse called Austere only got beat two lengths in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf at Santa Anita last November, and that was after her first two starts, resulting in wins at Ellis Park and Kentucky Downs. So she is going to be one of the favorites for Brendan Walsh. But you know, George Arnold has the one horse poolside with Slim, career debut at Turfway Park in January, second beaten a length in a 12-horse field. The winner, Nice as Pie, won that maiden race by a length over poolside with Slim. Then Nice as Pie, what has she done? She went on to win an allowance. Then she ran in the Valdale Stakes, won that by 2.25 lengths in a big field at 1-2 odds. So the horse that beat poolside with Slim in early January, the career debut for poolside with Slim, is a really good filly. Poolside with Slim came back to win a maiden route at Gulfstream on the synthetic by 5 lengths in a 10-horse field. And I think there's a lot of quality here. She's by Churchill, who was a multiple grade one winner by Galileo, George Arnold trainee. Ruiz is aboard. Luis Saez won aboard poolside with Slim in that maiden race at Gulfstream a month ago. He's going to stay at Gulfstream tomorrow. But from the one hole with Tactical Speed at 15-1, I'll take my chances. Poolside with Slim in the Florida Oaks on the grass for three-year-old fillies, 10th race, Tampa Bay Downs tomorrow. Okay, so that's a selection. So we're just down to trivia. Vince, last show's question, February 9th, was one of the toughest of all time. We didn't get any winning responses. But I'll try and make them a little easier. Which Washington sire has the most runners with multiple $100,000 earned seasons? So you had to have 2 years or more winning $100,000 as a runner and be by the sire, the same sire. Well, the sire is Son of Briartic, who stood at Packy and Julie McMurray's place for so many years. Great sire in Washington. Royal Reach, Foxy Sneakers, Maker's Mark, and Favored One all had $100,000 earned seasons at least twice. So Son of Briartic goes down in history there as a record sire for Washington. Okay, this week's trivia. Bodenheimer was our 2020 Horse of the Year, Washington bred Horse of the Year, as a two-year-old, as he won a stake at Keeneland that year and had a great season. And who is the only other two-year-old Washington Horse of the Year in the Emerald Downs era, 1996 to the present? There's only one other Washington Horse of the Year as a two-year-old in the Emerald Downs era. And prior to the Emerald Downs era, there was a bunch of great two-year-old Horse of the Years. Staff Rider, Saratoga Passage, Delicate Vine, Hilco Scamper, mm-hmm. Snow Plow, Table Hands, Coco's Pal, Bouncing Kim, Smoggy Dew. But just two in the Emerald Downs era. Name the other one. Send your entries to trivia@emeralddowns.com. Okay, thanks to our guests very much, Tom Harris and John White. And we'll do another show within 3 weeks here. Vince, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, that's it for Horse Racing Northwest.